This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest is the director of the controversial German documentary, Profession Neo-Nazi. It profiles a young charismatic leader of the neo-Nazi movement named Uwald Altans. The film has been praised for exposing the new face of Nazism, but it's been criticized for letting Altans' propaganda go unopposed. The film was banned in parts of Germany and seized by police at a screening in Frankfurt. Altans, the neo-Nazi, will soon be tried in Germany on charges of inciting racial hatred and displaying symbols of forbidden organizations. The documentary film will be used as evidence against him. The film will open in New York next month. I asked the director, Winfried Bonnegel, why he chose Altans as the subject of his film.
I think he was, in a way, the most clever, most smart neo-Nazi I've ever seen. At the beginning, I got the idea these people are in a little sick and a little bit weird. But this Bela Ewald Altans, he is really very, I don't know, he's very smart, and he knew exactly how to manipulate young people, and it was very easy for him to manipulate, to use these people, and this was really frightening.
Altans is a pretty charismatic looking in your film. Is that one of the reasons why you chose him?
Yeah, because he's really a part, because he could be really dangerous. Now he couldn't be dangerous anymore because he's in prison and he has even been kicked out by the other neo-Nazis. And at the same time, it came out that he was homosexual, and he led some sort of a double life because he was very well-known in the gay scene in Amsterdam, and nobody in Amsterdam knew that he was one of the most important or notorious neo-Nazis, and it changed his whole life. But I think he was really able to manipulate people so easily, and he got a lot of money from supporters from all over the world. And to me, it looked like somebody behind a friendly countenance, there may be hidden very, very evil intentions. You know? And this was a picture I got. And you don't see that he is really so evil, and this is even more scaring, you know.
So you say he no longer has any power in the neo-Nazi movement.
No.
Why was he thrown out?
I think people are, even especially young people, are aware of the fact that he basically wanted to promote his own career. To him, I think it was more important to make career as a neo-Nazi, to get money from all over the world, and he was not really interested in the movement, not so much as in himself, in his personal career. And this is really strange, you know, that somebody really tries to make a career as a neo-Nazi. That's the reason why I called the movie A Profession Neo-Nazi, because I think he's so narcissistic and egoistic that he even he doesn't really care about the whole movement. It's just a way to promote himself.
There's a scene in the film where Altans is at Auschwitz, which is now a museum, and he walks into the site of the gas chambers, where people are walking around very solemnly, and he starts to make a speech basically about how the Holocaust is a fraud and how there really weren't gas chambers. People were never exterminated at Auschwitz. And then you film the people who were there and the reaction on their faces. And everybody's uncomfortable. Some people are trying to ignore him. One person starts arguing with him. I was wondering how this scene happened in the first place. Did Altans often go to Auschwitz?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually he went a couple of times to Auschwitz, and he explained to young people that the whole thing never happened in this way, and he was denying the Holocaust a couple of times before. And I was really shocked in Auschwitz, because I couldn't really not believe what he was doing in front of my eyes, and we stopped the whole shooting for... I really wanted to finish with the whole movie. I didn't speak to Altans for 2 days afterwards.
When you did start talking and working on the film again, what did you talk about? Did you talk with Altans about what had happened at Auschwitz?
No, he knew it. He knew it because our relationship was completely different. It changed really in a way that because he told me, I knew that after Auschwitz you wouldn't react completely different. You would react in a different way, because nobody can believe that, you know, what I did.
So how was your relationship changed when you started resuming the film.
No, I found him worse and disgusting afterwards. At the beginning, I just I thought that he basically that he wanted always to provoke people, and but I never thought that he would go so far in his proposals and in his acting.
One of the scenes in your film is a conversation between Altans and his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents, one of the things they say, I mean, they don't approve of him being a neo-Nazi.
Not at all, yeah.
They're not neo-Nazis
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they say is that as a boy, he was always looking for attention, and the way he would get it would be by acting extremely and doing it in very negative ways.
Right.
How did you get the parents and Altans to agree to speak together about neo-Nazism in front of your camera?
I don't know. It was very difficult. But I told to Altans, you know, without your parents, there will be no movie. You know, I think I can't do a movie without your parents, because basically it's very important to know where does he come from, where does and this little monster comes from. And in a way, because mostly people talked, you know, neo-Nazis have really, basically, they're coming really from poor parents who have no education and stuff like that. But this is... his parents, you know, are completely different, and it didn't fit with the cliche of the parents of neo-Nazis. And to me, it was very important to show that he really came from a very social background, and to destroy the cliche one more time.
Well, tell us something about his parents. They're middle class.
I would say some kind of social bourgeois. Say both of them are teaching on schools for blind people, disabled people, and they are really very organized in all kind of social things in Germany. So really, it's really the opposite way of what her son is doing, you know.
My guest is Winfried Bonegal, director of Profession Neo-Nazi, a documentary about the neo-Nazi movement. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with Winfried Bonegal, director of the German documentary Profession Neo-Nazi. You have an earlier film about Inga Hasselbach, a neo-Nazi who left the movement and went into hiding during the making of your movie, I believe. I mean, you have a book coming out with him that you co-authored with him that'll be published in the States sometime soon.
Mm.
Did you do anything with him that inspired him to leave the neo-Nazi movement?
Yeah, no, I think it's a long process. It's a long evolution, because he really was quite different from the others. I knew it. He has something really sensitive, and I think he just got in the wrong direction, and I knew that there was a possibility to get him out, and I tried it very hardly and for a very long time, and finally he made up his own decision.
I know one of the things Hasselbach has said is that when he first read the anti-Holocaust literature, the literature that denies the Holocaust ever happened, he felt he could finally be proud to be a German, that suddenly he was free of all guilt.
Yeah.
That made me wonder, how much do you think freedom from guilt is a motivator for people who deny, for Germans who deny that the Holocaust happened?
I think this is an important question, because Germans had never a real... they have really, most of them, during the whole centuries, they had problems of identity, because once they are extremely, in a way, before the First World War broke out, they were really proud of being Germany. Afterwards, there was no, people were even felt ashamed to be Germans. They didn't even say ignore. They tried everything to hide their identity. And then the Second World War, it was just the opposite. It's always very extreme with Germans. And this is something really frightening about German mentality. On one hand, they are really extremely more proud than anybody else in the world, and on the other hand, they try to be somebody else. We are the worst. We are really the most horrible people in the whole world. So there is it has never been really sane in my eyes. like in some other countries, you know. So I think it's a really, really strange thing. And I think a lot of people have a problem of identity. So they just, especially today, most of the people say they don't feel really comfortable with the fact that they are Germans. And it's very easy to become, in this context, to become a neo-Nazi, because you say, you know, the whole thing was the Holocaust. You know, it never happened. So in a way, you know, it's too easy. Yeah?
You've been living in Paris for 12 years. Why did you leave Germany?
Basically, I never really felt quite comfortable in Germany, only at the beginning in my young age. But later, I don't know, the German mentality is really too strange to me. I enjoy life much more in France or in Italy than in Germany.
I'm wondering if your family's life during the war has anything to do with your feelings about Germany. Did you have the urge to ask your parents what they did during the war?
Yeah, of course I did. My mother, used to live in a small village, and my father was he was sent to Russia. He spent he was a soldier, a normal soldier in the Second World War.
And what were their feelings about the Reich?
About the Reich?
Yeah.
They told me my father was never. They forced him to go into war. He lost. He told me that he lost 14 times his job because he was never a member of Hitler's party, and my mother was not really important because she lived really in a small village. Really, she the first time when she saw a member of Hitler's party, she didn't know what it was, and later. I think in small villages, people, in a way, at that time, you know, there was no television, there was not really, some people even don't had a radio, it was difficult, they didn't have all the information. My father, it was really disgusting for him to go into war, because he told me he had no choice, whether you go into the war or you will be shot, so he told me that in this way.
After spending so much time with the neo-Nazi movement, filming it for your documentaries, how powerful do you think it is in Germany and internationally?
I think that basically there's another problem, because there are new generations, and a lot of people, they feel completely lost, you know. There's definitely no hope, no future, and they really feel lost, especially in Eastern Germany. Some people say really feel it, that there is no possible way for them to do a job or to become a normal person. These people are looking for an identity, and they love to be hated in a way. And it's too easy to isolate these young people. There are, of course, a lot of leading figures and neo-Nazis. You will never make change their mind and their convictions. But I'm more or less worried about about young people, because I think the societies have really they don't really care about the sort of these young people, and these young people, they react in this way.
Winfried Bonegal is the director of the German documentary Profession Neo-Nazi. It opens in New York May 19th. This is Fresh Air.